Welcome to the CBSSports.com Fantasy Football Today podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use the offer code FUN. Hey, everyone.
I may cry today.
This sucks.
I will remember.
Don't say that about Squarespace, Adam.
Of
course, you know it's the second line.
Isn't that the dog adoption song?
In the Arms of an Angel.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm going to cry because our producer, Mike Friedman, did something in here before he walked out.
Yeah.
It's like onions.
Yeah. Could bring a man to his knees.
I didn't smell it.
If you aren't a baseball podcast listener, well, here's your announcement for all you football podcast listeners. Nando, the floor is yours.
It's too hard for me, Adam.
Fine, I'll say it. Nando's leaving.
Soon.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Not an April Fool's Day joke.
Get out already.
Sorry about that.
Tuesday, March 18th.
We don't need you. Scram.
I got to miss everybody.
We don't need you and your Mohamed Sanu cards in your pockets.
We're going to miss
Please
you more,
buddy. Please don't go, geez.
Thanks, man.
I need you, man. Can't leave me in here with these animals.
No, you'll be fine.
You'll be able to fend them off.
I got all cried out yesterday, or Tuesday, when he announced it on the baseball show. It really was very sad.
It was.
So, anyway, today is going to be a free agency
show. Let's try and work through it.
I'm going to miss all those Brian Leonard conversations.
Yeah, you'll still have him. He'll be relevant next year.
No, he won't.
This midweek brought to you by Big Herc.
We'll try to tell some Nando stories.
That was curbed.
Like when he ordered me a drink at a restaurant early in our friendship.
Early in our friendship.
But first, guys.
You have to learn how to say midweek.
There's
so much Nando influence that's going to be on this podcast for at least 2 months after he's gone. Then it'll wear out and we'll be back to normal. Boring.
There have been so many free agent moves. It's been insane. Plus the Sproles trade. What's the biggest fantasy impact so far in free agency?
Eric Decker.
Is it a negative impact?
Well, negative on Denver.
Both ways.
Negative on Decker.
Denver.
Decker.
Denver.
Wait, what are you saying?
Forget it.
Negative on both.
Owns.
Come on, you can't be happy about this for Decker.
No, not at all. It's terrible. It's an overrated wide receiver getting paid like a stud wide receiver on a team.
Well, he got number two money.
He didn't
really get number one money.
Yeah, he was overpaid.
I'm wondering how a guy with a reality show and a wife who's semi-celebrity is going to lose focus in New York City. /New Jersey.
I'm sure that's part of the reason why he went there.
Right.
Was to enhance his profile.
Right.
Well, he might be there for a year.
No.
Who knows?
No, he'll be there a couple years.
I know that's not going to work out for Decker. Where's Decker now?
I got him as a third receiver.
Yeah, I haven't done my rankings, but he won't be anywhere close to the top 30 for me.
Yeah, scared to death. It could change a tiny bit if they do make a change at quarterback in New York.
Yeah,
if they don't go with Geno. Yeah, if they bring in Vic, that'll help.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Big stuff?
I mean, the one thing about Decker is he did score 8 touchdowns with Tebow.
Okay.
So if you want to point to some semblance of positive signs.
Okay. But if I don't know if I can even give him 8 with Vic.
Oh,
Geno.
I totally agree. But
if we go 6-7 with 1,000 yards.
He's not getting 1,000 yards.
I don't know if he's a lock for 1,000, but 850. 900?
I would say if you want to make a transition, he's very similar stats to what Golden Tate did a year ago.
Which was about 900 yards and 5 touchdowns.
5 touchdowns. 64 catches.
What else? It's been a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of – I mean, shouldn't we just go down some sort of list?
Well, we will eventually, but
if
I want to
follow the format, Dave. Come on. He's got to do his tweets of the day first. He's got to read his Squarespace ad. He's got to go into his
Well,
his
I got
notes.
The stat of the day, but the problem is I rushed through the stat of the day, and I don't know if it's right. So let's say the stat –
Adam Azer.
The stat of the day that even if it's not 100% right, could be pretty telling. And this is what I had. Darren Sproles games with more than 80 total yards or a touchdown outdoors. In 2012, he had 6 of them out of, I believe, 6 possibilities because some of his road games were domed. And that includes the game at Dallas. In 2013, Sproles had 0. So there's that.
He's hurt all year, Adam.
He moves to the Eagles. It's the most interesting thing that happened. Maybe it's not the most impactful, but it's probably the most interesting thing.
The most interesting thing is Toby Gerhart and the line it is drawn between Jamie and Dave.
Oh, is that right?
I think we actually agree. I just don't know if
we had, our argument was over
standpoint
was over his pay more than anything else.
Yeah.
But I kind of like Toby Gerhart. I feel like Nando now.
3 years, $10.5 million with $4.5 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I will not draft Toby Gerhart.
Yeah, I don't mind drafting him. Round 8, round 9.
Well, he's been a good player when he's had the chances.
Yeah, I agree.
Possibly.
And I listen, Gus Bradley came out and said that they envision him getting 15 to 20 touches a game. That's not going to happen. I think he'll be lucky to have 8 games this year with 15 or more touches. I think they'll be lower than that because I think they're going to add another running back. They can't lean completely on Toby Gerhart the same way they might have leaned on MJD last year.
15 to 20 touches a game is good. You don't think it's going to be that
high? I don't think it'll be nearly as high.
They're going to be trailing, so he's not going to get carries. They're not going to score a lot of rushing touchdowns because that's not their offense. And they still have Chad Henne at quarterback without the possibility of Justin Blackmon for 16 games.
Okay.
So there's a lot to like about the workload that he could potentially have, but I think there's more to dislike about the offense that surrounds him.
Nando, what do you think about this whole Sproles thing?
The stat that you came up with?
Yeah, it's wrong, first of all.
It is?
It's wrong.
I knew it was wrong.
I think
what's wrong?
I've only counted 5 games. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's 6. Right. Tough guy.
They're all in 2012, just like you said. I think you got it right then.
Nice.
Congratulations.
But did you include the postseason?
No.
Oh.
I don't think
Well, guess
I
what?
Didn't.
It's still right.
What do you think about McCoy?
I think everything will still be fine and the same.
He's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it seems like Sproles could be an X factor in this offense.
Right. He's not going to lose anything from a carry standpoint to Sproles because that's not Sproles' game, and I don't think Chip Kelly's going to force feed carries on Darren Sproles. And if he goes, I mean, it's not the same offense, but Sproles was an offense last year that had 148 catches from running backs. Pierre Thomas had 77 catches to lead all running backs in receptions, and Sproles had 71. So McCoy had 52 last year. So let's say he goes from 52 to, say, I'll take 10 off of it. I think that's, to me, that's conservative and that's fair. 42 catches, he's still going to work at the goal line. To me, McCoy, he's always been my number two guy. I'm not touching him from that second spot. Charles is 1, McCoy's 2. No hesitation.
I moved him down to 3. I like Forte better. I like Charles better. That's about it. But I could see myself flip-flopping a little bit more between those 3. I don't know if I could put Forte at the top. That's the big problem that I've got. So I don't know if he'll ever get there. And push comes to shove, I might actually still take McCoy.
McCoy had 391 touches last year.
And I think they recognize that, and I think that's part of the reason why they got Darren Sproles.
Yeah, it's a great move.
I think it's going to take a little bit of work off of him. I think they did it designed so that LeSean McCoy won't have so many games with 25 touches.
But also, think about where they were a year ago, where they had games where they were up big, and they worked in Bryce Brown and Chris Polk. And that's where Sproles is going to play.
I think it'll benefit McCoy,
too. I
don't
think he'll play then.
I think throwing Sproles in there will maybe confuse defenses a little more. He can carry, he can catch passes, and that'll kind of free up McCoy a little bit maybe. Maybe he doesn't get so many touches, but maybe they're more quality
sure,
touches.
Sure, sure, sure. There's two other elements. One, they're going to play at the same time. You'll see Sproles in the slot. You'll see him right off of tackle. You'll see McCoy in the slot. They're going to play all over the place. They're both going to get a lot of work, but it's going to be McCoy who keeps closer to that big number of 300 touches.
So who are you going
to
draft?
Sproles is going to be like maybe around 110.
Sproles or Gerhart?
Oh, Gerhart's better. Sproles is a PPR guy, but
yeah,
Gerhart's better.
I think I'm probably leaning that way too. The other thing I'll say is that it works big for Nick Foles. Think about the addition that Foles is going to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a reliable pass-catching running back we're talking about here.
Well, maybe just to throw it out there, maybe he's washed up. Had a crappy year.
He did have a crappy year.
He's slower.
He's
older.
To look back on.
He's going outdoors.
Right, but that's a problem.
Well,
yeah,
I guess
that sort of factors
again
into it. Yeah,
he wasn't hurt, was he?
No, not really.
No,
I mean, he was. He played.
He
got
concussed.
That was 2 years.
That was 2 years ago. He played beat up.
Some kind of beat up.
He played
that's
beat
better
up.
Way to put it.
Now, conversely, so you have the New Orleans situation now. So they signed Pierre Thomas for 2 seasons, which was a surprise, and again, you look at where he was a year ago. He had 1,000 total yards. He had 5 total touchdowns. Led the NFL in receptions for running backs at 77. They're taking away 71 receptions from their running back spot. Coincidentally enough, so today I went to my guy who's a trainer in South Florida, and he works with Mark Ingram. I was waiting around for Ingram for a while because he was working on the jugs machine, catching passes. Mm-hmm. He's entering contract year. He thinks he's going to be a bigger part of this offense like they were in the playoffs, and they did talk about how they want to become more ball-controlled and run the ball a little bit more. Whether that happens remains to be seen. But anyway, so they keep Thomas. They have Ingram. We all like Kyrie Robinson. We talked about this last week with the sleepers. So their running back core sort of shapes out now the way it is. But still, there's 71 catches that have to be replaced. It's not going to Pierre Thomas, clearly.
If you take Jamie from table up right now with the headphones on, you kind of look like a hot young football coach. You know what I mean? Like one that everyone wants
yes.
to have on their.
Because he's wearing a hat and the polo.
Yeah, you're wearing a hat. You got the headphones. You got the polo shirt on. And you got the. It looks like you've been out in the sun all day. You look like that coach.
Actually everyone, indoors.
Like the 40-year-old offensive coordinator who should be, you know, coaching a team. You look like. Not that you're 40. I'm saying that
right.
in terms of football coach
I agree.
Hierarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
I just wanted to point
We're
that out.
We're going to miss you.
Just the way you were talking about it. We need to get, you need a clipboard.
Nana, are you familiar with the jugs machine?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, right.
I learned a Madden.
Oh, okay, yeah. Is there any other jugs machine? That, yeah. Okay, and the Chiefs.
Were you making a boob joke?
Yeah, it was. The Chiefs have lost three starting offensive
up,
linemen.
Adam.
Come on, Adam.
It's Nando's last day, last podcast, football.
Anything else you want to qualify that way?
Not a Defino. We have more Nando's. The Chiefs have lost three starting offensive linemen. Any concerns for Jamaal Charles?
Yeah. You got to see how they go about trying to replace them. If you look at the offensive line, the starting offensive line right now for Kansas City, you've got Donald Stevenson at left tackle, Jeff Allen at left guard, Rodney Hudson at center. Jeff Linkenbach was signed away from Indianapolis. He's your right guard. And then last year's first-round pick, Eric Fisher, is that right tackle. And maybe they flipped Fisher, but he wasn't great last year. So there are some issues there, but it's not going to take away touches so much from Jamaal Charles. It's also going to impact the passing game for Kansas City. And Alex Smith, Dwayne Bowe, and whatever else they decide to do. I don't think I'm saying anything special when I say that Kansas City is going to take a step back this year. But Charles is going to be so involved in what they do schematically, week after week, whether they're up big, whether they're down big, that he's still going to get his work. So I'm still comfortable.
And you should know this as a Giants fan, having seen the Eagles as much as I'm sure you watch them. Andy Reid's been through this before, where he's had terrible offensive lines and still got production from his running backs, whether it was Westbrook or McCoy. So yeah. If there is a coach that can make adjustments, he's one that I would buy into.
All right. Tweet of the day number one comes from James at SkullVikingsFan7. A boat is sinking and Nando can only save one. Who does he save? Tommy Streeter, Mohamed Sanu, or Leonis Martinez?
Tommy Streeter.
Wow.
Sorry. Rod Streeter. He only wrote Streeter. Rod Streeter, Mohamed Sanu, or Leonis Martin?
I don't know who that third guy is.
He's an outfielder for the Rangers that Nando loves, I would say, much more than Streeter or Sanu.
So you carried around a card of Martin in your pocket?
I don't.
Well, that rules him out.
It's Martin.
Yeah, it's Martin.
Sorry.
But I don't.
Who do you save? Who's your favorite?
Streeter.
Okay.
How's that?
I like it.
All right.
Tommy Streeter.
Yeah.
Tweet of the day number two is from Floating Hobo. Will any of the 53 league minimum scrubs that make up the Raiders roster be fantasy football relevant?
There you go. Streeter, McFadden, Terrell Pryor.
Still waiting. I mean, maybe Streeter.
Streeter and McFadden are going to be relevant. Whether they're good or not remains to be seen, but they're relevant.
Well, here's a next one from
Latavius
the Fantasy
Murray.
Ace. Ooh, wait. The Fantasy Ace says, I had a dream last night. It was a big neon sign. It reads, Free Latavius.
Yeah.
Well, if you liked Rashad Jennings last year, you're going to like Latavius Murray.
Pretty much redshirted last year. Murray's a big guy, good running back, had amazing numbers at Central Florida.
Got to prove he can stay healthy, though. That's the other thing.
Yeah, but as long as he does, we know Darren McFadden won't, and that'll open the door for Murray to get some big opportunities. I like him.
Tweet of the day number four is from at Bears fan Pete. Does the bolstering of the Denver defense and the departure of Decker make Monte Ball's stock rise even more?
Yeah, I see where he's coming from.
There's still a big factor, though, that we have to wait and see what happens since
Marino.
Mm-hmm. Because as teams stupidly like the Jacksonville Jaguars spend money on running backs, that allows Noshon Marino's value to go down. And if it goes down low enough, then we'll just bring him back.
You think the Jaguars overspent on Toby Gerhardt?
1,000%.
$4.5 million guaranteed.
On a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
$10.5 million.
So big deal.
Yeah.
It's the guaranteed money that matters.
What if he's one of those guys who...
$4.5 million guaranteed is a lot?
For running backs?
For a running back?
The salary cap
for
is
going to
be like $160 million or something.
Listen, I understand that it's small relative to a $133 million salary cap, but that's the world that we're in right now. For running, Donald Brown got less guaranteed money than that.
Well, according to the notes,
Darren McFadden got less.
Smarter.
That's the same amount of money. Rashad Jennings got $1.5 million less.
Smart.
Yeah. Rashad Jennings was a smart signing. It's those little, it's not a lot of money when you think about $133 million, $1.5 million, but every little bit matters when you're putting together a salary.
It's going to be $750,000 if they make him a post-June next year.
Next year? No, it won't.
Oh, no, it'll be a 1.5.
Right.
I like Jennings a lot, but I don't see why Gerhardt's so much worse than Jennings. I kind of think Gerhardt and Jennings might be on the same level. We've just seen Jennings get starts before. Gerhardt hasn't had a chance to carry
his team. No, their fantasy value is not that much different. Not that much different.
I'm going to be sick that these guys are draft relevant now.
It's fun.
Why?
It is.
We need it.
It is fun. We definitely need these running backs, but they're also not excellent running backs.
Okay, so then
they're just good players.
This is why you take running backs early in your draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
In your fantasy draft.
Yes.
Not in your NFL draft.
How early?
I don't know how many NFL gems are listening to this, though.
First three picks.
I don't know. I don't agree. I make this case over and over again. It's so hard to predict who the best running backs are going to be.
All right. That's why you got to get a bunch early.
Dave said Toby Gerhardt round 7 or 8.
You have to get him early.
8 or 9? Would you rather take... let me see. Would you rather take... I'm trying to think of somebody. Terrence Williams in round... We got to take Terrence Williams in round 8 or Toby Gerhardt in round 8?
Gerhardt.
Gerhardt won't last around.
I probably didn't explain it right because the way I'm trying. Would you rather
there's
have
probably a better
running backs early and Terrence Williams as your third receiver as opposed to Toby Gerhardt as one of your starting running backs in round 8?
Well, but Gerhardt isn't going to be one of my starting running backs.
He would be like my
fourth
or fifth guy.
The team you drafted where you ended up with Ridley and Lamar Miller as your starting running backs.
Yeah, because I screwed up and I took Tom Brady. Well, I shouldn't have taken a quarterback.
Yeah, but. Well, there's a few things wrong with that. Toby Gerhardt, if he's the starter, is not falling to round 8 or round 9.
Correct. But if he falls to round 6, I'd be pumped if he's a starter.
Right, and I'd rather have a receiver there. I'd rather go running backs early and take a receiver in that spot.
I mean, in theory, yes, but it's just like that's the position that has
that's why you don't take quarterbacks early and you don't take crappy running backs early.
You guys want to wait?
You try not to take crappy running backs at all. Yeah, it's true. This is going to be an every week thing.
I mean, I pretty much decided, like, okay, obviously if I have a top 3 pick, I'm taking a running back.
I think it's too early to dedicate yourself one way or the other. Although Jamie's way, I think, is probably going to be the way we'll all eventually lean come August.
Yeah,
because there's going to be more running backs that come out of the woodwork.
There's more quarterbacks that are good. I mean, it's not worth it taking a quarterback in the first round. It's not worth it taking these guys, waiting to take these guys when you could take other guys early. And if they fall to you in the right spot, of round 8 or round 9, Toby Gerhardt's sitting there and he's your fourth running back, great.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you take him as your starter because you want a quarterback and receiver.
I don't even mind him as my third running back.
If you take quarterback and receiver early, then you're stuck with these guys as potential starters. And they're just not going to be good week to week. The end of the season, the number is going to be Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. And that's what you're going to end up with.
Well, I'm still sort of obsessed with the two elite wide receivers if I'm picking like 8 or later.
But that's fine. If you do that, you go 2 receivers, 2 running backs, and you're getting guys in round 3 and round 4.
Would do that.
Yeah, but what are the running backs going to be like in round 3 and round 4?
They'll probably still be pretty good if
they'll
long
be
as
pretty
you're not
good, but there's
you're getting Andre Ellington and Frank Gore.
Yeah.
But then I might take 4 running backs after my 2 wide receivers.
Right, and Gerhardt would be one of those running. You'll end up with Ellington, Gore, Rashad Jennings, and Toby Gerhardt.
That's fine.
And then
if that's a scenario, that's fine.
Yeah, and then I might even draft 2 more sleepers
later.
Yeah,
but I'd rather take one of those first 2 picks that you're going to use on a receiver and use it on a running back there and then take another receiver instead of one of those crappy running backs.
Well, who's the 8th pick in the draft?
Well, but Dave's scenario is perfect if you don't have someone else in the league thinking the same thing as you.
Okay,
that's the perfect draft to get those 4.
It doesn't matter if somebody's thinking the same thing or not. There's going to be too many people in every draft thinking, well, do I have enough running backs? Probably not. There's Rashad Jennings. I'm going
to
take
him. I need to get him.
Right. The problem is, and again, I'll use the same draft as we go off of because you did that theory, is it's not taking Gordon and Green. It's taking one of those 2 and then taking a running back there. So whether
you
it's Gordon and DeMarco Murray, for example, or Gordon and Giovanni Bernard.
It's just the thing is, like, DeMarco Murray is my perfect example. It's you could have a great player at DeMarco Murray, or you could have the guy who gets injured all the time.
But
you
have to gamble on that. Aaron Rodgers got hurt.
But I don't want to gamble on that in the first round. DeMarco Murray is a lot more.
But you're not. You're taking
hurt.
Josh Gordon. You're doing it because you did it at 12. But if you did it at 11, you're taking Josh Gordon or you're taking whoever you think is that best player. And if you want to go quarterback, and that's your decision to make, stupid as it may be, do it.
I'm not in the quarterback camp. I'm in the wide receiver.
Right.
Or
so you're
Jimmy
taking
Graham
you're
camp.
Taking wide receiver. Jimmy Graham's not getting to it at the end of the first round. So you're taking unless the holdout is. you know, 6 weeks long. You're taking whoever it may be that you consider to be that first player in the first round that you think is safe, and then make sure you get one of those running backs early.
I don't know if I would make sure I get one of those running backs early. We drafted Stephen Ridley and David Wilson with our first two picks in our 16-team league.
They all play.
We had one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, we got screwed.
If we had waited on Giovanni Bernard and Eddie Lacy, then it would have been much different. We haven't even had the NFL draft yet.
During the draft you could have known Lacy. I mean,
you couldn't have known, but what I'm saying
is, or Stacy,
it's such a volatile position that we haven't even seen the rookies come in yet. When we get the NFL draft pool, those guys in our rankings list, you know what I'm saying, is why not load up on the mid-round running backs and take the sure things, which are those elite receivers, as you pointed out, Dave. Those top 10 receivers or whatever it is are the ones that are most likely to get you back-to-back weeks with double-digit fantasy points.
Yep.
Those are the guys I think you can build your team around and try to figure out running back. You might hate your team on draft day, but hey, at the end of the year, look who finishes in the top 12 at running back. It's a different list all the time.
Lots of guys
you didn't expect to see there.
It's just knowing or trying to hope to get some of those guys that end up there.
Yeah.
Like, right. Zach Stacy was a guy that Jamie and I both liked at one point during the preseason last year, and then it didn't work out. The Rams went into the season with Daryl Richardson as their guy. So it was hard to say Zach Stacy's worth a draft pick, and then it would have been even harder to say you got to keep him on your roster.
Because you
can't
still
cut him
AIP.
For Julius Thomas. You can't
Pete
cut him for somebody else in week two and week three.
Pete could have leapfrogged Stacy too at the time.
Right. We recognize his talent, but we also recognize that there wasn't an opportunity on draft day.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't want to have the same argument every week. So back to the news and notes. Let's look at the quarterbacks. Josh McCown, 2 years with the Bears.
2 years with the Bucks.
Bucks.
Oh.
My fault, sorry.
Okay. I read that. I was like, really? He went to the Bears?
No, he's going to be Tampa Bay's starter, according to Lovie Smith.
All right, 2 years with the Bucks. Bye week stays with the Jags.
Bye week guy you can pick up off waivers.
Really? He was so good last year.
Josh McCown?
Yeah.
Look who's all right. To.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, and he'll have Vincent Jackson. I think it kind of helps Vincent Jackson.
What if they get Sammy Watkins?
They're also talking to Emmanuel Sanders.
Right.
All right. Well,
and they signed Brandon Myers.
Mike Williams still around?
50 catches.
Mike Williams still around, but he's more of a headache right now than he is a talent.
All right, let's see how fast we can fly through these. Chad Henne, Jaguars.
Worse than Josh McCown.
What does it do for Blackman?
Well, who knows when Blackman's even going to play.
Yep.
Fine. We'll cross that bridge. Matt Cassel, Minnesota's guy.
Another bye week replacement quarterback.
He, I like, of the three, the best because of North. We saw what North Turner did with the Browns guys when he had somebody for more than a week. Brian Hoyer looked like he was going to be legit.
Yeah.
And Cassel last year showed some flashes.
A lot of playing from behind for Minnesota this year.
Yeah, and semblance of a running game. So Castle's not somebody you're going to draft. He's not somebody you're going to start. But he's going to be one of those guys in that Andy Dalton, not Dalton, in that Phillip Rivers mold that you say, wow, this guy for 2-3 weeks has looked pretty good. Let me pick him up. And then you start to say, maybe I should start him. And maybe you say, this is why I didn't draft a quarterback early.
Some running back news we haven't gotten to. Jonathan Dwyer. 1 year deal with Arizona.
Just you're not going to make your noise?
He's not worth. Actually, I saw Andre Ellington today. I asked him about Dwyer. He says he's excited to have another body in there. Likes the fact that he knows Bruce Arians' system.
All right, so how about Rashad Jennings? We've covered Toby Gerhardt. Rashad Jennings, 4 years, $14 million with the Giants, $3 million guaranteed.
Did you see Andre Brown?
Andre Brown's a free agent.
No.
He didn't sign yet, did he?
No.
David Wilson's got the neck thing.
This is your starter.
I just wouldn't feel good about Rashad Jennings being a starting
running back. Why? He was great.
For like one stretch of his career.
He's got health problems.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, he's got health issues. Yeah, if he can stay healthy, I think he'll be okay.
He's got great hands, Adam.
Additionally, the Giants signed Jeff Schwartz, a guard. So it's clear they're going to try to commit more to the run. They had no running game last year, but I don't know. Where would you take Jennings now?
Flex.
I'd be okay with him as my second running back.
Round six material, maybe round seven.
What about
seven?
David Wilson?
If he's healthy, I mean, that's a big piece of the puzzle.
Well, Peyton Hillis.
Oh, Peyton Hillis is there too.
Yeah.
If Wilson's healthy, you'd figure he's the guy, right?
He'll get the first opportunity, I think. But
he's got to really prove he's healthy.
They didn't bring Jennings in to sit on the bench. They didn't pay him that much money to sit on the bench.
Right.
I
think they're operating as if David Wilson isn't going to play this year, and if he does manage to make camp and is healthy, that's just a bonus.
And you're looking at an OC who doesn't really have a track record as being an offensive coordinator at all, really.
So well, we're not sure what to expect from him, but, you know, probably some hard and fast West Coast principles, a lot of catches out of the backfield. Jennings could, if he stays healthy, 250 touches this year.
Charger signed Donald Brown, 3-year deal, $4.5 million guaranteed.
I mean, what are they doing? Why?
I'll tell you what
they're doing. Why?
I think that teams that their salary cap is supposed to increase so much next season, right? Or maybe two seasons, but I think next season it's going up a lot. And they got money to spend. Plus, they do have a very injury-prone
running
back.
They could always, listen, if you've got to spend the money, you could always extend your young players. And
that's
keep,
the smarter way to do it.
With what, $4.5 million guaranteed?
Or if you've got a player that's owed a lot of money 2 or 3 years down the line, you accelerate that money into a roster bonus now. I mean, this is stuff that fantasy people don't care about.
No, it's
but
football
there's smart ways to navigate the cap. They did this because Ryan Matthews, Danny Woodhead are both in their contract years.
Oh, okay.
I think they can let Woodhead walk now.
They're not going to.
I don't think they're going to, but I think they could.
He's such a big part of their offense, though.
Yeah,
Donald
but
Brown
a Brown
can't replicate him.
Yes, he can.
As a receiver?
No, he can't.
Yes, he can.
No, he can't.
As a receiver, he absolutely can.
No, that's like saying Pierre Thomas can replicate Darren Sproles.
But he could. He
not
had 77
really,
catches.
Yeah, but he wasn't as dynamic as Sproles.
Donald Brown can catch passes, and he can hold up better
Adam
than
Woodhead.
Adam
can catch passes. It doesn't mean he can do anything.
I can catch passes, and I know how do you feel about this issue. Not my pass catch.
I mean, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but...
It's stupid.
Yeah, but they really... No one believed in them last year, and they put on a show for everybody, so I'm sure they got some kind of reasoning behind it that'll reveal itself later.
It's just dumb.
Maybe. I mean, I would have to assume that Donald Brown can catch passes because...
He could catch passes. Yes, it's just dumb.
I think you guys
are you're turning into Pete.
I think you guys are taking
without realizing
the
it.
Running backs shouldn't have no free agent value thing and going a little overboard.
No. There's a separate issue here. There's a team that has a guy coming off of a very good season, injury prone as he may be, in Ryan Matthews. There's a guy that they signed last year in Danny Woodhead who fills a role for them, and maybe it makes them a little bit predictable when he's on the field, but he still fills a role for them. Why not take a 5th, 6th, 7th round draft pick or sign somebody off free agency, undrafted, and plug someone into a role to see if they can fill a spot, as opposed to spending $4.5 million guaranteed money, 3 years over $10 million, $10 million over 3 years. Who knows how much of that money he will see on top of the $4.5 million guaranteed for something they do not need.
Well, okay, let me just say this about Ryan Matthews, though. He really killed it last year, the last 4 weeks. 29, 29, 25, 24 carries.
Right. They were 6-0 in games where he had at least 20 carries.
But I don't think we really – it's kind of a catch-22.
No, you do not. I know what you get. You don't want to see him overworked because then he's going to break down and get hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
But as opposed to – did they make the playoffs last year?
Yes.
Did they do it with 3 running backs who were somewhat successful, with that third guy being Ronnie Brown, who they had for a 1-year deal that filled a serviceable role for them?
Yeah.
This makes no sense. And if you're Donald Brown – forget about whatever happens long term. They get rid of Danny Woodhead. They get rid of Ryan Matthews. Right now, Donald Brown took a career season that he just had and all of a sudden said, I'm okay being a role player. Why?
Because there's $4.5 million.
He couldn't get $4.5 million somewhere else?
No. That's what I would guess.
No one.
I don't know.
He signed on the first day of free agency. How does he know that he couldn't get more money somewhere else? When teams started to get...
That's his agent's job.
Maybe he wanted to go there.
Yeah, and
that's fine.
I don't even care about how much money he gets.
All those things are fine. But if you are a player, I would anticipate – like, if I'm Eric Decker got paid and he went to a situation where he feels like he's going to be a difference maker to that team, right? There's nothing standing in his way from his standpoint. He thinks I'm going to make Geno Smith better. I'm going to New York. I could be on the king of the world. You win in New York, you know this. You're both Giants fans. You win in New York, you're the king of the world.
No, you're the king of New York.
Which is the king of the world in a lot of people's minds.
Not
so,
anymore.
I don't buy that. That sounds – like a false
people in Portland, Oregon.
Back in the day, but not anymore.
Yeah, look at Kobe Bryant.
I apologize again to the people of Australia. So I think if you're looking at Donald Brown, to me, you're going to a situation where you were a featured running back for the Colts. As much as he took...
But he wasn't. He wasn't a featured running back.
He was a featured running back for the Colts.
No,
he may not
have
been the starter.
He was their best running back.
He may not have been a starter.
If you're a featured running back...
Okay, I'll take that word back. Okay. He was a key contributor for the Indianapolis Colts on a playoff team that he was very successful. He had the opportunity to go get paid, which he did. If this is the going rate for running backs, why not go to a situation where he could get an opportunity to flourish?
Like where?
Jacksonville.
The Giants. Oakland.
But maybe the other...
Tennessee's about to cut Chris Johnson if he waits a week. He goes there.
No, wait. They have Sean Green. That was.
You know, I'm speaking my personal feelings. I don't know what Donald Brown's personal feelings were. I don't know what his age.
You also don't know what the plans really are for Donald Brown, and neither do I. And I'm just guessing when I say he's an insurance policy for Ryan Matthews.
To me, it's
a guy that they can use to overtake Woodhead.
It just doesn't make sense.
Okay.
From either standpoint.
I think they wanted depth. I think they wanted an insurance policy long
term. Didn't have to pay for depth.
I think they wanted a guy. The general manager loves Donald Brown. He was in Indianapolis when they drafted Donald Brown.
Yeah,
this is probably the guy that talked him up.
And this reeks of somebody trying to make up for a mistake that he made by drafting Donald Brown in the first round.
You know what I think it is? I think it's the ID that's clipped to your shorts that makes you look like a coach. That really helps.
We're going to miss you now. Back to the news and notes brought to you by Squarespace.com. Ahmad Bradshaw signed a one-year extension with the Colts, and Oakland signed Darren McFadden to a one-year, $4 million extension with very little money guaranteed, and Detroit signed Joique Bell to a two-year deal with $4.3 million guaranteed. So we got Bradshaw, McFadden, and Bell staying with the Colts, Raiders, and Lions, respectively.
Yeah.
Joique Bell the best one here?
Yes.
Yes.
Because he's most likely to stay healthy for 16 weeks. Most likely to contribute the most fantasy points to your team.
Are we done with McFadden?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Unless it's like a late round pick. When you're in the late rounds, mid to late rounds, probably when you'll see McFadden go.
McFadden or Rashad Jennings?
Jennings.
Come on, man. Come on, Adam.
I guess we could ask the Raiders that. Okay. Cleveland signed Andrew Hawkins to a front-loaded four-year offer.
I like this.
So that could be matched?
I don't think it's going to. In fact, well, there's already a report saying that Cincinnati won't match it.
We have so many notes to get to, so I'm going to just go through the wide
receivers.
Hawkins
is a good late-round sleeper.
What? Steve Smith cut, Miles Austin cut, Santonio Holmes cut. Didn't Owen Daniels just sign?
Oh, no, he's Graham visiting. Signed. Garrett Graham stayed with
Owen
Houston.
Owen Daniels cut.
Steve Smith is interesting. He's going to go to another team. The Ravens are in the lead for his services. By the time you listen to this, he might already be a Baltimore Raven.
All right, out of these guys, Decker, Jacoby Jones, Golden Tate, Dexter McCluster, Andre Caldwell, let me say their teams that they're with. Decker to the Jets, Jacoby Jones back to the Ravens, Golden Tate to Detroit, Dexter McCluster to Tennessee, Denver signs Andre Caldwell, re-signs him, Andre Roberts to Washington.
Yeah.
What biggest about fantasy impact?
Well, it's Decker.
Decker down. What else?
But let's talk about Golden Tate because I think that's the second one. Go ahead, Jamie.
Oh, I mean, you know, you look at what the offense he played in, and it really held back what his skill set is, which is a guy that can make plays down the field. He, I don't know all the stats from Pro Football Focus, but he was among the leaders in tackles broken. He was among the leaders in yards after the catch. I think he, you know, based on receptions, some weird stat like that. He's going to be in an offense that's going to allow him to flourish. I know Jim Caldwell coming in and Scott Linehan leaving takes away the potential of Matthew Stafford throwing the ball 700 times, but this is still an offense where the quarterback's throwing the ball 630 times three straight years. So they're not going to go all of a sudden to, let's give Joique Bell 50 carries and give Reggie Bush 15 carries and turn into the Seattle Seahawks. He didn't go there for that.
That'd he's be gonna funny get, if that was the
he's case. He's going to get single coverage all over the place. He never moved around in Seattle. He's going to move all around the offense. In Detroit, they're not done adding to their receiver depth. They also added Kevin Ogletree for what it's worth. But they're going to add somebody else to probably play also either outside to allow Tate to shift inside as well to play in the slot. I love this move. He gets a quarterback that likes to throw the ball down the field. Again, the single coverage. To me, I got to redo my rankings a little bit. I put Tate, I think, too low. I'm going to put him closer to the 24 range and move him ahead of Decker.
Golden Tate dropped 5 out of 149 catchable passes over the last 3 seasons. That's the lowest rate of anyone in the NFL. That comes from our friends at Pro Football Focus. That's a heck of a stat. And
yeah, that is.
I need to go back and look at how many targets receivers not named Calvin Johnson got in Detroit last year. Because that Golden Tate's going to get a lot of those. And Jamie said it best. He's going to be in single coverage. He's going to be able to run deep. And Stafford's going to be able to hit him. He's going to be one of those boomer bust type of receivers for your fantasy team. There's going to be weeks where he's 3 for 35, and there's weeks where he's 6 for 108 and 2 touchdowns.
He's
just going to be that guy.
Golden Tate or Marcus Colston?
I'd probably go with the upside of Tate, just based on Colston kind of disappearing.
You get Tate around or two later, too.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I agree.
Look, Colston's going to be the number 2 behind Jimmy Graham. I mean, Graham's tight end wide receiver, whatever, but he's going to be the number 2, and Tate's going to be the number 2 behind Calvin Johnson. So
yeah, and he's younger.
And there's no way that teams are going to be able to say, well, we got to account for Tate, so let's take some of the coverage off of Calvin.
Okay, people. Well, if you're sitting around and you need a website, your own professional website or an online portfolio, today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, and Squarespace lets you do just that very easily. Squarespace is constantly improving their platform, new features, new designs, and even better support. They have great designs for you to start with. There are so many options to choose from. You're really going to like the way your website looks. And it's so easy to use. But if you do want some help, Squarespace has an amazing support team that works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And like I said, it is not only easy, it is cheap. It starts at just $8 a month, includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. You want your website to look good on mobile? Well, every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience to match the style of your site. So start a free trial with no credit card required. Start building your website today, and when you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code FUN. You'll get 10% off, and you'll show your support for the CBSSports.com Fantasy Football Today podcast. We thank Squarespace for supporting our show. That's Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website.
The Lions take on a lot of opponents that have one very good cornerback, very good slash elite cornerback. I don't know how many of these teams that they're taking on in 2014 have two. And I see what Jamie sees with Golden Tate, and I need to move him up in my rankings as well, because you're going to see when they play New England, it's going to be Revis one-on-one with Calvin Johnson. When they take on Arizona.
Brandon Browner too.
Yeah, well, and that would be a problem. That wouldn't even be a problem for Golden Tate, because he can rooms.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he's still quality.
He's going to be inconsistent, but I think he's going to be a fun guy to draft.
Houston signs tight end Garrett Graham to a three-year deal. So with Owen Daniels gone, is Graham now top 12?
They like Ryan Griffin a lot. I think it's going to be a situation where, you know, this is a head coach who was a coordinator when they had their two tight end set in New England in terms of Bill O'Brien when they had Gronkowski and Hernandez.
Okay.
So there's potential for both guys. Graham was rather disappointing when he took over for Daniels. Most of his production came when Daniels was healthy last season. So I'm not overly excited about Garrett Graham. But if Ryan Griffin gets more of a bigger opportunity, he's the better player. So we'll see how it plays out.
Garrett Graham is very much like Owen Daniels.
Yeah.
They're very similar. I mean, they even went to the same college. They did. So I think I like Garrett Graham. I think he's especially going to be good in PPR. I want to wait and see just how much Ryan Griffin gets used up in the preseason, in the training camp, what the reports are like, and who's throwing the football.
Yeah.
Yeah, neither guy you're drafting as a starter.
Right. Anything else? Brandon Myers to Tampa Bay. Is that bad for
bye week tight end?
That other guy that they have?
Yeah, Tim Wright's not going to be. Tim Wright's not going to be a factor there.
That's a shame. A lot of offensive line news. Anything fantasy relevant?
Miami's rebuilding their line. Albert was a step in that direction. I like where Arizona's going with their offensive line. Jared Valdir was probably my favorite left tackle on the market. They're going to get back Jonathan Cooper, who was their first-round pick last year.
Ellington spoke about him specifically today.
And what did he say? That he's
missed him.
Yeah, he's a fantastic interior lineman. So that's a line that's going to turn itself around this year, and that'll help Andre Ellington. Won't help Rashard Mendenhall. He retired. We're all going to miss him.
Yeah, a lot of the Dolphins guys disappointed us. I think if they'll probably draft an offensive lineman too, I would think. Couple that with Brandon Albert, and maybe you get more from Lamar Miller, maybe you get more from Mike Wallace.
I saw Mike Pouncey today, and he said they were extremely disappointed in the way that Ryan Tannehill was protected. Obviously, that goes back to
the league in sacks.
Yeah. A lot of what happened.
No, not really.
Well,
sure it does.
They weren't great before. They actually got better after that.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's just the whole thing with that unit. But, you know, he said, I asked him about Lamar Miller, and I said, you know, look, does he still have the chance to be good? And he said, I said before last season, he's a 1,500-yard running back. I still think he has the opportunity to do it. We have to do our jobs up front. So, you know, I think Lamar Miller has bounce-back ability, but we'll see. This is a team that could also look at running back in the draft with a late-round pick.
Anything else, guys?
John Asamoah to Atlanta. It's a nice start for them. They still have more work to do on their O-line, though.
Anything for you, Nando?
This all looks good to me, Adam. I thought the Saffold thing was pretty interesting. There's a good article about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Back with the Rams.
Yeah, Will Carroll wrote something nice about how can you fail a physical, come back, and pass a physical.
Because every team does their physicals differently.
Well, you should read the article, Adam. Yeah. RTFA.
He failed his physical because he had too much money in his wallet. And the Raiders owner said, enough of this. Yeah. And he put his foot down. Don't think anything else happened.
Real quick, you guys want to comment on, like, you know, crazy defensive signings and keep to lead.
Sure.
Oh, of course, Revis would go to New England. That's just perfect.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's just typical Patriots.
He's going to be so good for them.
Yeah, of course.
He's going to be a stud.
When you've got a cornerback like that, it just allows you to open up your playbook and blitz a million different ways because you don't need to cover behind the
You know what I would do now if I were the Patriots? I would give up 2 first-round picks, sign Jimmy Graham, and win two Super Bowls, and that's it for the Tom Brady era.
Wow, can you imagine Gronk and Graham on the same team?
Right?
That'd be amazing.
Get back there, 2 tight end set. Two first-round picks would be the price if they signed him because he's got the
franchise. Saints don't match it.
Yeah, if they don't match it. I don't know. Just thinking out loud. Anything else stand out?
You know, Denver obviously made a bunch of moves. They picked up DeMarcus Ware. They picked up Aqib Talib. They were apparently in the market for Revis, but they couldn't agree to terms on a deal with him. And they also got T.J. Ward. So that defense is coming along nicely. There is a big race going on between New England and Denver for who can do better this offseason. And even though New England got Revis, I think Denver's doing better. I like the additions that they made, and I think that unit's going to be very good this year.
We have a very cool free agent tracker on our website. And two teams that kind of stood out to me were the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
They really bolstered their defensive line.
Yep.
Solei and Tyson Jackson, Corey Peters, Jonathan Babineau, and the Buccaneers as well, if I remember correctly, Dave. Mm-hmm. They did a lot on their line.
Yeah, Michael Johnson was a big addition for them. They desperately needed a pass rusher. That's a key element.
And Clinton McDonald's a defensive tackle from Seattle that Prisco likes a lot. Yeah. So looking at NFC South defenses that should get better.
How about the Saints? They got Jairus Byrd.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hell of a safety combination with Byrd and Vaccaro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Saints want to be more smash mouth. That's one thing Mark Ingram talked to me about today, is that they realize they got pushed around, and they do get pushed around, going back to your Sproles outdoor note. They can't play outdoors. And how do you solve that problem? Well, you're a little bit more physical than the opponent. You run the ball a little bit more. You defend the run better.
You have to transcribe all that stuff now?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that sucks.
That's the worst part about
it. We should get an intern. Let's get an intern for Jamie.
Two other teams just kind of under the radar moves. Minnesota getting Linval Joseph from the Giants.
Yeah.
Like that guy a lot. And I think they're going to pair him with Sharif Floyd. And that's a nice defensive tackle tandem for a long time. Remember, they're the ones that had Kevin Williams and Pat Williams for years. And they can kind of recreate that now. What did I say? Recreate?
Yeah.
And then Jacksonville. They've added a lot of beef to their D-line. Red Bryant, Ziggy Hood as far as interior linemen. And then Chris Clemens is a pass rusher they got. They brought back Jason Babin.
Red Bryant stayed in Seattle.
No.
No,
he's in Jacksonville.
So that's two. Nah, Clemens and Bryant, both Seahawks
Michael
guys.
Bennett stayed in Seattle.
Michael Bennett.
Who go to Gus Bradley in Jacksonville.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily A-plus talent there, but it's just such a great rotation of depth that it's going to be tough for teams to run on Jacksonville.
And Nando, what do you think about Mike Mitchell going to the Steelers, leaving the Panthers?
I really don't care about that. I like Arthur Jones going to the Colts. I like Bethea going to San Francisco.
Colts made some good moves. Yeah, sure. Browns made some good moves.
Alteron Werner.
Everybody's good now.
Best value of the...
Without question.
Oh, John Beeson. How about that,
Among
Adam?
The cornerbacks?
Best Among anybody.
Among anybody? You think he's the
he
best
went for,
value?
Like, his guarantee... His total money is the same as Talib's guaranteed money, I believe.
Yeah.
And Werner might be better. I never really thought Talib was that good.
No. And he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, never. So there's that.
I think Donald Brown was the best deal. What do you think, Jamie?
Second only to Toby Gerhardt.
Could you make a noise to... There you go.
So there we go.
All right.
Let's talk about our favorite Nando stories.
We don't have to.
Oh, Dave has to go. Dave, bye. Say bye to everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
Where are you going?
Goodbye. I got to go pick up my kids.
Oh.
I'm going to miss you, Nando.
I miss you too, Dave.
And your shirts.
Thank you. I'll miss your pants. 3/4 of them.
No, those are 4/4 of them. 3/4 of his leg.
All right, Dave. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir.
Nando. All right, Jamie, any favorite Nando stories?
There's so many.
We were trying to think of this last night.
It was very difficult. Like stories.
Well, I'll start.
Yeah, I don't really have any.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the way that he says everybody's names.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray.
What are DeMarco Murray.
What are the greatest hits? DeMarco Murray.
Towers.
One time I was having dinner
Julian Edelman.
I was having dinner with my brother. Dave's still talking. I was having dinner with my brother, and obviously a lot of people who listen here, Nando nicknamed me DJ Milk. One, because I have two laptops set up here. It looks like I'm DJing, and DJ Milk because I don't drink alcohol. And I was having dinner with my brother, and Nando went to the same restaurant with his wife and their friends. And halfway through my dinner, the waitress comes over to me and says, "Oh, sir, the bartender's a big fan. He's a big fantasy football fan and wanted to buy you a drink on the house. It's a, what was it, a Shirley Temple with extra cherries." I said, "Damn it, Nando." So that was one of the first pranks.
It was funny when she came back and told me your reaction.
Yeah,
most of the things were when he was pranking you, like when he made the parking spot.
And then Jamie.
Oh, right.
Not the thing where you think I did something.
What did you do? Oh, I parked in. We have two companies that share the same parking lot here, CBS Interactive and Parkson. And we were driving back from lunch, and I did not want to park in a parking spot, and these two guys pressured me into doing it.
It was Jamie who pressured you. I was just
sitting
in the back
laughing.
I
take full responsibility for pressuring you, yes.
Like, just do it, whatever. It was a Friday afternoon, so I parked in the, in the Parkson spot, and I come back to my car, and I have a note. Do you remember it?
Yeah, it was on Parkson Letterhead.
Yeah, Parkson Letterhead.
I had to go find Parkson's website, pull a letterhead onto a Word file.
And then what?
I wrote out a note.
From a lady who has just had hip surgery.
Sheila.
Always parks in that spot.
Sheila Johnson?
Sheila Johnson.
Please don't park in that spot anymore.
It was great because you drove off to the dry cleaners without realizing it was...
They videotaped
you. You were so excited to see the girl work at the dry cleaners that you didn't notice that there's an envelope stuck to the front of your car.
How's it going? Nando trying to set you up with the girl at the dry cleaning?
Mm-hmm.
Trying,
Nando
please.
Trying to set me up with the princess of Long Island.
Well, that's what I was talking about. That's the parking spot.
You went out with her.
About.
I didn't go out with her. You, I met her out.
At a bar.
It wasn't a date.
I remember you texted me, just, "I'm giddy."
Yeah, that's what I did.
you still follow her on Twitter?
I think so.
Yeah. You guys sharing the Rejects team?
Oh, we're sharing the Rejects team. That's great. How about the baseball Rejects team? Not only am I sharing with Nando, I'm sharing with Herc. It's a three-owner team. Because he just insisted on putting so many damn people in the league, and I said, "No, I don't want that many teams." So he said, "Okay, well, I'll share one team."
I'm open-hearted. Let more people in. And what's funny is the guy we made room for is blasting the message board.
Oh, my God. He said the meanest things about me, Scott, now on the message board. We all read it.
This is really Azer hating Herc more than anything.
Oh, Dave remembered the guy. Here he comes.
Yeah, Dave's coming back with a big smile on his face.
The box score. Yes.
Yes, your Sunday night / Monday podcast.
Those were
legendary.
Fun. Before they told me to stop screaming people's names out in the newsroom.
Bringing in the guitar for Adam to play on set was good.
A few weeks ago, I met a couple that Nando and JJ are friends with. I like them. They were very nice. And Nando texted me the other day. He said, "I don't know how to tell you this. ... And that was it. And then he told me that the guy I met didn't like me. For no reason.
Really?
No, but the guy doesn't. No, it's not true. That's why it was funny.
Yeah, he just decided he wanted to mess with me and tell me that Toph didn't like
he
me.
He called me.
I was driving. You texted me. You said, "I don't know how to tell you this, ... So
We always have, something random happens. Somebody sends an email about a picture of somebody that we work with or a text about some stupid topic that we were talking about.
Right.
And Adam generally either doesn't respond, the only person not to respond to the email, or gets mad when we send the text because either A, we woke him up, he's trying to go to sleep, he doesn't feel well, and it's always usually lends itself to more comedy.
So then we went back and checked the emails, and you could tell if the person downloaded the pictures of the hot girls that were being sent, and he's downloaded every single one of them on his computer.
Nobody understands what you're talking about. You
see
an email chain with a picture of a girl in it, and I never want to respond because I find them very annoying. And then the text messages, I had the flu a few weeks ago, and Nando wouldn't stop texting me, even though I told him I'm extremely sick.
I got my phone in here somewhere. There it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to take a minute, so answer an email, then I'll read you the text message that Adam Azer sent me.
Here's an email from Mike, Jamie. Josh Gordon in the 9th round or Le'Veon Bell in the 12th?
Le'Veon Bell, get your running back.
I would draft Bell ahead of Gordon, so I would do that.
Jared in Seattle says, all you guys seem to really not like Russell Wilson in fantasy. I know he doesn't put up huge stats, but his top two wide receivers were injured the whole year. A healthy Harvin and likely a high draft pick at wide receiver will help his consistency. I won two fantasy championships with Wilson as my quarterback. He's a winner, and I think he's a low-end starter instead of a high-end backup.
I think that's fair. He is a low-end starter. I don't know who the second receiver that he's missing that wasn't healthy.
Sidney Rice?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say he was the second. I would say Golden Tate's still their second best guy. But it's fair enough. I think, you know, to Jared's point, if you want to wait on a quarterback, this is the type of guy you can wait for. You have to pair him with somebody else. You have to understand he's going to have some inconsistent weeks. And I would like to know, you know, who else Jared had on his team, because I don't think Russell Wilson, based on his fantasy points, was the difference in you winning a championship.
I think I lost it.
Oh, no.
My phone only goes back so far. So I'm just being a nice guy telling Adam someone he knows is on TV.
You want me to get it? Because I will read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Because it was this long,
read the next email.
Terrible diatribe that made me feel so bad.
I'll be right back. This is an interesting
email. Well, no, Nando, you get a chance to host.
Oh, Nando. Read this one that says, hello, Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria. And read it slowly, because you always read the emails too fast.
Hello, Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria. Please tell me if I managed my team wrong, if I just had some bad breaks. I picked Brandon Marshall instead of Jimmy Graham in the third round. Oh, watch this. You want to just swear and make him listen back to this? This is bull and amazer. Here, he's come back into the room. Stop laughing. I mispronounced Jordan Cameron's
name. You have to
edit
the podcast,
bro.
You have to. Oh, man. How many times did you curse?
What do you mean?
What did you do? What did he do?
I don't know. Clear can't hear anything. Now you want to recognize that Clear's in the room all of a sudden? You say, don't mention Clear's name anymore. People don't know what we're talking about. And now when you need him.
Why does my mic smell? What'd you do?
Hello, Nina Pinta in Santa Maria.
Please
tell me if I managed my team wrong or if I just had some bad breaks. One, I picked up Brandon Marshall instead of Jimmy Graham in the third round because I was counting on Jordan Cameron in the late rounds, which I did get, and he worked out just fine. The guy I lost in the playoffs picked Graham in the third round. Two, I played the Detroit defense against the New York Giants and benched my Carolina defense against Drew Brees in week 16. I lost by 6 points, and if I played Carolina, I would have won. We get a point per rush and reception in our league. Which running backs will get the most touches and what offenses next year?
What? How does this all make sense?
Did you manage a team wrong or just have bad breaks?
First of all, they're separate questions.
He had bad breaks.
Right. I think they're both bad breaks.
Yes.
Which running backs
will get the most
playing
touches?
Detroit against the Giants instead of Carolina seems like a bad management decision. Carolina's defense was awesome. Detroit was just you were playing a matchup.
Yeah, but that's, you know, I mean, if Detroit has two pick sixes on the quarterback who threw the most interceptions in the NFL.
Yeah, that's true.
Then it works out in your favor. The running backs that'll get the most touches, Matt Forte, LeSean McCoy still, Jamaal Charles, Eddie Lacy, Le'Veon Bell. Just look at the top of our rankings. That's usually why they're up where they are.
My coworker asked me the other day why I kept singing Her Glove as I was making copies. Her Glove.
Her Glove.
Northern Arizona University Lumberback Jefe.
All right, so Nando, I had just gotten off the phone with him and told him I had the flu. This was on February 7th. And he said somebody that we know has really big fingers relative to the size of her hands. So these are the texts.
This is a text message.
Bombarding me with.
One text message.
No, there's I don't want to say the other ones. They say the person's name.
Just bleep it out.
So I had just told him to leave me alone. And I said, hey, in all honesty, I just want to let you know, I think you're being very inconsiderate right now. I really like for you to leave me alone and stop bleeping with me. I am tired of texting. I am struggling to move. Every time you text me, I get very angry. You never seem to take me seriously ever at all, so I'm not surprised by
this.
This
came in four separate text messages.
No, this is one message.
It came in four to me.
So I'm asking one more time. Please leave me alone. I don't feel up to chatting. I have no faith in you listening to me, but I thought I would at least ask. I only want to hear from you or anyone if it is urgent. And that was it.
I feel like there was more disrespectful.
No, that's
Wasn't there an apology that came afterward too?
No.
You didn't apologize later?
It hurt.
He said, I think you overdid it with your comments. And I said...
That was 2 days later.
1 day later. 3 days later.
Yeah.
Oh, I texted him the next day. I said, are you still mad at me? He didn't respond. Until Monday. Until 2 days later, he responded. I said, you're right, I did, and I'm sorry. Felt bad about it right after I hit send. My bad.
So you realized you overstepped your bounds?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, no, what happened was he gets mad at you guys. You and Dave started replying all. And my phone doesn't have reply all capabilities, so... And Friedman was part of it, too. You three kept replying all the night before. Bleep, 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 every second. Guys, stop bugging me! It was because you wouldn't put your phone on silent. I wasn't part of that. All I did was write those two texts the next morning, and I got the 12-page text message back.
No. You have any parting words?
No.
Nothing?
No, this is a wonderful time. I had such a good time on this podcast. I'm really going to miss you guys. I'm going to miss the listeners. I'm going to miss the dudes like... That guy, Paul, who eventually made his way into the Rejects League, who wrote some pretty nasty things saying, get me off the show. And then the next year he's like, you know what? I'm sorry. That was kind of nice. That's all I want to do is be a nice guy who gives people information.
I would say that unless Nando goes to a direct competitor, we should make him part of the Rejects League.
It's fine.
I want to lord over the Rejects League next year.
All right. Well, look.
So you'll still be a part of us.
Yeah, I don't actually have a job to go to, so I can't commit either way right now. I might be busy. I might be overseas.
Yeah. Well, you've
might
done
be
a lot.
Webmasteringadamazer.com.
You've done a lot for our content, and we appreciate it.
Look at him. He's crying.
No, I just have something in my eye.
He's going to cry when he has to listen to the whole thing again.
Yeah.
I'm actually dreading this. But Nando has become one of my best friends, and I appreciate every second that I get to work with him.
Most, I agree.
No.
Do you really mean that?
No, not every second.
Really?
I came in here after their baseball show on Tuesday. No, Monday.
Yeah, whatever it was, yeah.
Monday, and Nando's last day is Tuesday, and I said, Adam, what's wrong with you? Why are you so upset? I'm going to be so happy next Wednesday.
It was true.
All right, we got to go. See you later, everybody. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. Put football podcast in the...
You know what I'm going to miss most?
What's that?
You sitting on this side and watching all the girls walk by.
Yeah, me too.
That's going to be a part of my day that I'm going to regret. A lot, and I'm going to miss you so much.